talking. And, you know, my father at one time had told me that he was 3 years sober. But I got the feeling that his sobriety and my sobriety was just a bit different because, you know, because I said, well, when I saw him the last time, we only see each other at funerals. And I said, you know, do you have a sponsor? He goes, oh, no, I don't need a sponsor. I don't want someone telling me what to do. I said, gotcha. You know, so I believe that when you're done, all of that is no longer negotiable. You know what I mean? That's period. And, but I understand that this disease is very powerful. And so, you know, I asked him, I said, are you still sober? He said, yeah. I said, you know, sober means no heroin, no crack, no drinking. And he goes, he starts chuckling. He goes, I ain't gonna lie, I've been drinking. You know, and I said, okay. And we didn't have a lot to talk about because we don't really know each other. But I'm going to tell you something, that from the moment I found out that he might not make it, I knew I needed to be there. I needed to be there because Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me to suit up, show up, and to get current. I have to be present. If anything were to happen, and I will share with you that this entire week I have spent at my father's bedside. You know, and that every night after I saw him, I would go to a meeting downtown L.A. at the Midnight Mission. You know, and it's important for me to be there, to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous every night, because what I'm being faced with is the disease of alcoholism. You know, my dad and I told him I was going to bring him a big book, and he said he liked that, and I read more about alcoholism to him. I read the entire chapter, and he was just sitting up, you know, on oxygen, listening to me. And afterwards, I shared what that chapter means to me, and I related some of my experiences, and he shared that. You know, we talked about this disease, and I would say, you know, I remember when they got to the day warmer, and he was like, yeah, yeah, you know, and I said, you know, and I told him that I had gone through something last year. Last year, I reached a place where I didn't want to stay sober anymore. I had gone through a very painful breakup. It was an insane relationship, and in that relationship, I lived like I lived out there on those streets. I compromised my dignity to stay in that relationship because I was just so in love, and I thought, this is my soulmate. I'm not going nowhere, you know, and I don't care if the police do come to the house. So we're going to work it out, you know what I mean? And so what happened is, you know, when all else fails, get engaged. That's what we did. And so we were engaged for 6 days, and, you know, that was all we could do. But I'm going to tell you something. When we walked away from that relationship, my former partner is a normie. He's never taken a drink or a drug a day in her life, ever. I am not a normie. I am an alcoholic. And I must treat the disease of alcoholism via the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which outlines a plan of action, a program, and a design for living. It is imperative that I apply the principles of this program into every area of my life. And I will tell you, I made a conscious decision to lay those principles down in that relationship. My sponsor would say, you have to leave. This is crazy. And I would say, no, I will not leave. I have made a commitment to this person. I'm not going anywhere. And she said, well, then you have to apply these principles. And I said, no. If they don't have to apply them, I don't either. You know, and I don't recommend it, because I'm going to tell you something. When all was said and done, you know, I was in a real bad space. And what I did is I fixed it with another person. You know, because that's what I do. What I had to find through all those experiences is that there is no outside solution to an inside problem. There's just none. Period. I'm going to tell you that when I got sober, I had no idea what it was like to live with an affection, because when I got sober, I was done. I was tired of how I lived out there as an alcoholic woman, and the obsession was lifted. But when I tell you that I have had to come to understand what it's like to still be deeply in love with an individual and have to walk away from it, because I had to ask myself one question: if I go back into this relationship, can I unequivocally say that I can stay sober if we don't work out again? And the answer was no. Because I could not 100% say that I could stay sober through it. I cannot go back. My sobriety must be first, period. And I do not compromise for anyone. something. I don't drink near beer because I'm not near sober. Telling me near beer. out there and I did everything I needed to do in order to get what I have to have. I'm under no illusion that if I stop doing the work in Alcoholics Anonymous, that I will not step back out and repeat it all over again. I believe that once you have done something, it is not a big deal to do it all over. The shock value is worn off. My disease will tell me it's going to be different this time. Kind of like it told me in that sick relationship. This time it'll be different. This time when you make up, you're not going to hit each other anymore. I don't live like that sober. That's not okay. It is not okay for me to be begging and crying someone to stay and not leave me. It is not okay to have to look down when my friends are talking to me about how happy their relationships are because I'm thinking, surely everyone is living like we're living. That's not the case. What I have to learn and what I have had to learn continuously is to look at my core beliefs. There are a lot of things I brought in from those streets with me, and I have to find out that I cannot live the streets in Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't get up here and talk to you one way and live a different way. I can't come in a suit with my partner like we're just the best thing that ever happened, knowing that we're going to be fighting and screaming and hitting each other the minute we leave the meeting. And that's how I was living last year. I wanted to drink, and I wanted to die. I don't think you have to say I wanted to drink, and I wanted to die. I would go to meetings, and I would cry. I would scream, and I would say, I don't want to be here anymore. I would tell the women I talked to, I don't want to do this anymore. There is nothing more humbling than to look into the eyes of one of the women you sponsored and to tell them, after you said, if you do this deal, your life will get better, to say that because of an individual, I don't want to be here anymore. What happened to my God? I remember praying to my God, give me a sign. He'll give me a sign. Okay, give me another sign. You know, when the police came to the house, I made sure I didn't mean that sign. You know what I mean? We can't break up on Easter. That's just not going to work, you know. So I remember just doing everything I had to do out there. And, you know, what ended up happening is I became pregnant because I don't take care of myself. And when I found out I was pregnant, I made the decision to terminate that pregnancy. I am not going to go into whether I feel it's moral or immoral, anything outside issue. The way I live out there, I don't do background checks on the people I hang out with, and if there were a child sitting there and I get the call in the wild, I got to go. That's what it means. And I believe that because I have heard people come into Alcoholics Anonymous and they have shared that when they were little, they were left with individuals they should never have been left with and things that should never have occurred had happened. And I knew that I would be one of those parents to put my child in that type of situation, and I didn't want to do it. So I made a decision to terminate that pregnancy, and it was at that time that I learned a member of my family had been arrested for child murder. That person was my mother. I'm going to tell you that there's going to come a time for you when everything is going to stop and stand still, and that time came for me. I remember it was on every radio station and every newspaper, every TV station, and I just remember thinking, the way I live right now is the way I'm going to live forever. I had always believed that once your destiny had been determined, absolutely nothing could be done to ever change it. It was not until I came to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, broken and devastated from this disease, that I had found if you are willing to do what it is we do here, your destiny can be reshaped. This is a program of action. There is absolutely no way you can come in here and sit in your seat and look pretty and think that everything is going to be okay because it is a spiritual disease and it is toxic and it wants you dead. I firmly believe that alcoholism wants me alone in a room with a gun in one hand and a bottle in the other, and it'll go through anything it has to set it up and make it look like it's your fault. I had to learn to live in column four. It can't be what you did to me. It's what my part is. What am I willing to do to live differently today? Period. You know, when I had my daughter, her name is Serenity. She was so beautiful. And I remember holding her and her shaking in my arms. She was shaking because she was detoxing. And I remember my heart breaking because I wasn't done. I remember going back out there and doing everything I needed to do in order to come to you surrendered. And I remember at 4 months of sobriety telling the director that I had a child, and she got all excited. She wanted to know where she was, and I didn't know. She gave me one number, led to a series of numbers, and they told me that in the eyes of the law, I was no longer considered her parent, that my parental rights had been terminated. This was the price I paid to defend my right to drink. When I am drinking, everything is okay. It tells me that everything is going to be taken care of. The greatest love affair I ever had was with alcoholism, and I was devastated when I found that it had been lying to me and trying to kill me the entire time. I was brokenhearted. I didn't think I would ever be put back together. Alcoholics Anonymous has done that. Everything I am. seeing her come in this program devastated, holding her head down, broken from the disease of alcoholism. Watching her as she starts walking in her own brand of dignity, self-respect, and self-esteem. Through taking the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, looking at her in the eye as she blows out the flickering flame of a one-year candle. That is a spiritual experience. You know, I'm going to tell you like this. It's the only way I know how to put it. If you want what we have, make sure you're prepared to do what we do. Thank you.